From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, July 31st, 2012. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Both of us have returned from the ESRI User Conference, and we're asking the question, can we judge the health of the geospatial tech industry based on what we saw? We'll tease out what the conference signifies, if anything, about the mergers, morphing, and mortality of the geospatial technology marketplace after a word from our sponsor.
National security, cyber warfare, energy independence. These are the topics of the first Geo Huntsville Conference that will be produced by Directions Magazine this November 8th and 9th in Huntsville, Alabama. Formerly the Rocket City Geospatial Conference, this regional event will draw a large audience of senior technologists from the defense industry and the business community. Find more information at www.geohuntsville.com and join us this November.
Well, you would think that 15,000 people can't be all wrong. What we're here going to try to discuss today is some measure of the health of the geospatial technology marketplace. Maybe this is just too isolated an event to draw anything meaningful. Adina, I'm going to throw it over to you.
What I found really interesting while walking through the floor of the exhibit hall were the reminders of how many acquisitions have occurred in the past year or so. And these are outside of the ones that ESRI itself did, acquiring Procedural last year and more recently the merger with GeoIQ. So if we look at the acquisitions that were sort of highlighted in the booths, I was reminded that Schneider bought Telvent, that Baker bought RBF, and that Thomson Reuters bought Manitron. And what's interesting is that these geospatially focused ones were being absorbed by companies that, for the most part, are not necessarily thought of as being geospatial organizations, right? Schneider is in the utility sort of space. Baker, to me, is broadly engineering. Thomson Reuters is, so far as I'm concerned, in the information business. And here they are acquiring these geo companies. And I think this is sort of a indication maybe that we're moving, albeit slowly, toward this vision that we've talked about before, where the success of geospatial technology and geospatial technology companies are going to reach their height when they become invisible. And I think this is part of that process.
Yeah, it does seem that way. I was a little surprised by the Schneider acquisition, but then again, when you look at it, it seemed to be a pretty viable acquisition by Schneider. Telvent, for a long time in the geospatial arena, came to that organization via the Miner & Miner acquisition. So that's had a long history, and I think you're right. I think the embedding is ongoing and well, and if there's any conclusion we ought to draw is that you do see more and more of these acquisitions of the geospatial companies to augment a particular aspect of their technology integration, here in this case, geospatial, which is a good sign, I think, for us. I don't think it's
right. And this is really just the modern equivalent of GE acquiring Small World.
Yeah, that's right. And to support some vertical integration, the concept, the business model of vertically integrating your company with a particular competitive advantage, I think, is relevant in this case. One of the things I wanted to point out on the floor was that there were certainly a lot of ESRI partners there. And Jack Dangerman made a statement in his opening remarks that the company had grown by double digits last year. My sense is that if they're growing by double digits, their partners are coming along, that being part of the ESRI ecosystem would certainly boost their bottom line to some degree. And I would suspect that if you're in that ecosystem, you're probably benefiting by the growth of ESRI as well.
That's true, and I wonder if we can tie the number of attendees to that success. The numbers are quoted variously, 14,000 plus, 15,000 plus, some very large number of people, and probably more than last year. But when you think about those numbers, are those simply more attendees from the same organizations that are already users? Or are those representing new organizations with new implementations? How do we sort of break down those numbers? And the sense I got from the exhibit hall from the vendors was that they were seeing an awful lot of people for whom this was their first user conference, which I think was an interesting data point.
Yeah, and I'd heard that too. And also in talking with the vendors, while the exhibit floor seemed to be fairly robust, I think their reaction to the traffic was somewhat mixed, albeit mostly positive, I would say. As robust as they would want it, well, you know, vendors will always gripe to some degree, but I think a relatively healthy traffic through the exhibit hall is what I would say.
So that goes to another point I was going to make about whether there's a mortality to the industry or things are consolidating, because I can't tell individual companies that are sending new people are leaving the old people at home, or whether there are new people being hired because the old people left or were laid off or anything. There's hardly any way to tell that. In terms of, as I just said, the mortality, there was news that, for example, the American Congress on Surveying and Mapping, that professional organization, is going away, and that certain parts of it may be incorporated into the international organization. That was one data point for me that was very strange, because that had been a very healthy organization for many years.
And yet GITA is reorganizing and turning into some new vision of itself.
Right, following on the heels of the GITA situation.
And it's unclear what the future of ERISA will hold. It was just an editorial on what that organization should look like as it moves into its second 50 years.
There are many movements in the industry that are giving us, I think, mixed signals. I think that there is still a need for these organizations to justify their existence to their users. And once again, I'll make the comment that if you've selected your vendor, like Esri, and you're coming to this conference, that is, in effect, your professional organization, is this body of users who you are now trying to gain a collective understanding and focus from being at that conference. So there's no need for a professional organization.
I think we need to add one more potential mortality to that list. And it came to our attention in the last couple of weeks that Daratech, the company that for so many years was sort of synonymous with the state of the marketplace in GIS and other fields, the website is down, no one's answering the phone, and the best we can tell is they've disappeared off the face of the earth.
And not that I've had any great love for Daratech or their methods of market research, but that doesn't stop us from asking the question, or many people asking us as editors, how big is this market? And so we struggle with all of the anecdotal evidence that we can see. And I'll go back to what I have seen over the past several weeks, which is, okay, I've been to the Hexagon conference. That was a fairly good conference in terms of attendance. The Pitney Bowes Insights conference, though not really robust, seemed to have at least an enthusiastic bunch of users. These are vendors having some success at their own events, and yet the professional organizations seem to be dying off. I think we'd be remiss in not mentioning the GOI Digital Globe merger. That's not a great data point to me, because to me that's nothing more than government juggling their budgets and having to make a decision as to what they're going to fund. Overall, I would say the appetite for remotely sensed imagery is still growing. There's certainly more emphasis on visualization and real-time video and persistent surveillance, and we saw that there are quite a few vendors of unmanned aerial systems on the floor, which is, I think, going to invigorate some of the market because of the lower cost of ownership and acquisition of that system. So taken as a whole, the remote sensing part of the industry, I think, has got some legs to run, regardless of the merger of GOI and Digital Globe.
Yeah, and the UAVs are an interesting one, because I'm wondering if those specialty sort of vendors, which tend now to be smaller companies, are likely to follow in the footsteps of Gatewing and be acquired by larger survey kind of organizations like Trimble. And we didn't really have any insight to that, because the whole survey part of the ESRI user conference was completely separate. The other sort of corner that I think we need to look at, and you mentioned this before, and that's about the partners.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it very interesting that there were so many, and there seemed to be more every year, sort of consultants that implement ESRI systems. There are small ones, there are large ones, there are national ones, there are regional ones, and you walk up and down the rows of the exhibit hall, and in trying to distinguish these one from another, it's very difficult. Do they specialize in one platform? Do they specialize in one industry? You sort of get this generic GIS consultant feel from most of them, and that to me is a good indication that there's some opportunity for those to consolidate, and maybe there will be more of that in the future. And the other data point I think we have to pop in here was just an offhand remark that came up at the end of an official ESRI press conference that we attended, and that's that ESRI is going to open an office in Silicon Valley specifically to support third-party developers, and I have to believe third-party web and mobile developers. And that's an interesting kind of change in ESRI's business model, because up until recently, the vast majority of its partners and developers were working on the desktop platform because that was the platform. And now we're moving over to the mobile web platform. It's a whole different set of organizations. I would suggest that this move to open that office is probably a couple of years later than it might have been, although perhaps ESRI's technology wasn't quite ready, hard to know. And I think that perhaps bodes well for ESRI, but maybe it is a little bit late.
Well, I think it's a good move, and I think if you look at what ESRI is trying to do in terms of, again, incorporating their technology into other platforms, where else are you going to at least make some noise but in the Bay Area, where you want to embed your technology into other applications, regardless of all the startups, when you want to have a closer relationship with some of the companies that are seated in that area, Google, Yahoo, others notwithstanding, Apple. You would certainly want to have boots on the ground there to make your case. I'll just point out one other thing with regarding partners, and that is a major, the bigger IT companies. Esri still has a good relationship with IBM. They want to get into the BI community, the acquisition of Spot On Systems last year.
Did IBM have a booth at the user conference?
Oh, yeah. They had their same big booth this year. Another company that they had acquired called i2 was very interested in reaching more Esri users with their technology. Cognos, of course, I talked to the person at Cognos, not quite as interested, although, again, the Spot On Systems acquisition more or less ensures that Esri technology gets into Cognos applications in the BI field. What I didn't see on the floor this year that I saw last year is I didn't see information builders, I didn't see Teradata. In the IBM booth were representatives from Netezza, so you could argue that the big data component of geospatial technology was being covered off by that group. I was surprised not to see Teradata back again. I think Esri has a story that they need to tell on the big data side. Maybe they'll do something with the Netezza folks, because that information needs to get out to users eventually. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We at Direction would like to ask you, are you looking to ramp up your sales and close business faster? Our geospatial webinars, a production of Directions Magazine and Earth Imaging Journal, have an average registration of over 500 attendees, making it an outstanding value. Our proven methodology has worked for clients such as Oracle, Google, Esri, Pitney Bowes, and many others. For more information, go to geospatialwebinars.com. If you'd like to make a comment about today's podcast, you can send us an email at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.